How you doing? I'm phoning this one in, people. Letting you know ahead of time. I've had an awful week. I'm in no mood to be entertaining in any way, shape, or form. But I'm doing this podcast because I know myself, and if I don't start doing it again on a regular basis, if I take another like month off, I'm just never going to do this again. So I'm just forcing myself to do these to get back in the habit. But I'm in no mood for this. I feel terrible. I feel very ill right now. I take my laundry to a laundromat. So, and I had a gallon of laundry detergent in my car that I apparently didn't screw the lid tight enough on, and it tipped over in the back and spilled out. I didn't know this, and I parked my car last night, and then I get out this morning, and a gallon of laundry detergent had spilled into the back, not on the back seat, but on the back rug. And it's summer, so I don't know when dawn is, like 6 o'clock. I got moving around noon. So for like 6 hours, the sun was baking into that car and just cooking that laundry detergent. And I can't describe the smell. It didn't smell bad because it was like linen fresh or something, but it made you ill. It was like sticking a scented candle right up your nose. I was getting nauseous. I had all the windows rolled down. I drove around on the expressway to try to get rid of it, but I don't know what I'm going to do. Huh? Well, yeah, I guess if you smell something, Jay, then it's probably me. That's probably what it is. I guess I probably smell like that. Well, you know, it was like this, condensed baked detergent in the back of my car, and I was sitting in there for a half an hour. I don't feel well. I don't know what to do either. Because it's soap. How do you clean soap out of something? The more you scrub it, the soapier it gets. I mean, it's going to have to take the carpet out or something. I'll just relive my mid-20s, drive around in a car with no carpet in it. Like a 20-something loser dog. Maybe I'll just take the back seat out and the door panel off, too, just for grins. Just to, really feel the nostalgia. I think I'm gonna pass out. Jay says I look a little green around the gills. I feel a little green around the gills. This is gonna be one of those summers where I almost die a lot. I think I had a summer like that. Summer I moved to Orlando. I was almost killed. Like on a weekly basis, like really almost killed. Like it's driving my 63 Bel Air at the time, because I was in my 20s and thought it was cool to have a piece of crap car, and the wheel literally came off in traffic. The front tire just came off. I'm not going to explain how tires are connected to you non-car people, but for you car people, the bearing wore out and popped away at the cotter pin or something. I don't know. The whole thing, rotor and all, just fell right off. Clunk, clunk. Or actually, did that have rotors or a drum? I can't even remember now. I think it was four-wheel drum. Whatever. Something happened. The whole wheel came off. I can't remember what now, but it was scary. And fell off a roof that summer. Almost shot myself in the stomach. That was a double one. I had a job... Actually, my friend had a job. He was an independent contractor. When banks foreclose on houses, they take ownership of the house. Now, obviously, the bank clerk and the bank president aren't going to go over there and mow the lawn and board the windows up and winterize it. So they subcontract that out to people like my friend. So, what kind of houses get foreclosed on? Well, nowadays, anybody's. But back then, it was just houses deep in the ghetto is what my friend was getting. Maybe there was a pecking order and there were like houses in the suburbs that got foreclosed on and he didn't get them, or maybe he just didn't bring me along to those. I don't know what, but I would have to go and help him board up these houses in just demilitarized zones, basically just the worst core of the ghetto that you can imagine. I know you think Milwaukee doesn't have a ghetto, but trust me, it does. There's some parts of this town that are bad, bad news. We're not that far from Chicago. And so we would have to go into these houses. First, you'd have to board them up, which wasn't that scary. But you'd also have to go in there and clean out all the old possessions. You know, people left, you know, furniture or whatever, or maybe they just split and run and left everything behind. You know, somebody's got to take all that out of the house. You know, the bank's not going to sell, put a house up on the market with, you know, an old sofa that's duct taped together and a bunch of kids' clothes lying around on the floor. Somebody has to go in and throw all that stuff out. So that was me and him. So that was a scary part, because you're in this house and you don't know if there's a hobo in there or what. One house we went into had a dog chained up in there. That was fun. big, scary, hungry, upset dog. That was good times. You know, and there's graffiti all over there, and you don't know who's going to come back in. So, you know, we were armed, which, as it turns out, was more of a danger than anybody coming in to kill us. I had my .45 pistol, which you got. It's one of those, if you don't know anything about guns, it's not a revolver. It's when you got to pull back on the chamber and cock it. And I was trying to get, I'm trying to remember now exactly what happened. I was pulling out a lawnmower, and then my gun fell, I don't know. So I was jacking around with a lawnmower and my gun at the same time. So I chambered it, and then the lawnmower slipped, and I went to grab the lawnmower, and then that made me clench my finger around the trigger of the gun, and it went off. Just missing me, and went through the bottom of the minivan, just missing the gas tank by about 3 inches. So, I don't know. I guess Mythbusters proved that the gas tank wouldn't explode, but, you know, it's me, so it probably would have. So there was that. I forget what else happened that summer, but, you know, I think this is going to be one of those summers. Because I'm sure I've given myself some sort of brain damage smelling that laundry detergent for half an hour. Whatever chemicals are in there, I'm sure weren't meant to be cooked at 110 degrees in a hot car for 4 hours and then inhaled. And then, of course, I cut my hand open at San Diego Comic-Con. Is it Comic-Con International? First day. Okay, largest comic book convention in the world. 2 hours before the show opens, I slice my hand open with a box cutter. Just missed a tendon. Just missed a major artery. Eight stitches. Bad news. And like I said, it's the first day. So we just duct taped a rag to it. And I went about my business. Because, you know, I can't afford to miss the first day of the largest comic book convention in the world. I'll be homeless. That's how tight the clearances are when you're an independent publisher. And that's how big this comic book convention is. I mean, you invest a ton of time. You also invest a ton of money. You can't miss an entire day. You know, your year is over. You're ruined. You're washed up. I wouldn't be paying my rent. So there was no time to go to the hospital. We just duct taped it up, and I basically just bled on everyone's books for 5 hours and then went to the hospital later. And so there was that. So that sucked. The rest of the show was fine, I guess. I don't know. It's all kind of a blur. The stitches are out now, so it's fine. And I'm glad the stitches are out because, one, they itched, and two, you got to explain to every person who sees your hand what happened. Hey, what happened? I cut my hand open with a box cutter. You know, you'd think that would be it, but then the next question is, well, how'd you do that? Which makes me, like, everybody asked the same two questions. What happened, and then how'd you do it? Well, I cut my hand open with a box cutter. How'd you do it? Cutting open a box. It was a box cutter. Wait, do you think there's going to be some great story? Like I was juggling them or what? It's a box cutter. What do you use it for? Cutting a box. It's sharp, right? I've got stitches. What do you think happened? I wasn't as, you know, crabby like the first, 400 times I had to answer both those questions. But, you know, towards the end there, I had enough. And plus, as soon as you answer those two questions, then inevitably comes some story about somebody getting stitches that they knew or some injury that they had. Oh, hey, you know, a friend of mine got his finger cut off in a lawnmower and had to get it stitched back on. You know, everybody wants to tell you some other story of pain and mayhem. Look, dude, this just happened, like, a few days ago. It's still throbbing. I don't need psychosomatic pain added onto it from some horrible story about your friend getting his nuts caught in a binary machine or something. Like, you know, everybody has some bizarre story they want to tell you. And the weird thing about that is, like, you saw your friend get his hand cut off by a lawnmower, or his fingers cut off by the top of a lawnmower. Don't you think I would have heard that from you already? Like, you just kept that in the holster? You know, you're just sitting on that story until I got hurt? Why didn't you tell me that when it happened? I don't know. I'm getting dizzy. Right? I'm dizzy right now. Should I go to the hospital? Are my pupils dilated? I'm serious. I don't feel good at all. They're dilated? What do I do? Maybe I should go get that bottle. Maybe there's a number on it. I think that number is just like in case you drink it or something. The poison hotline. I don't know that I could call anybody and they could tell me what to do about inhaling 110 degree soap fumes. But I don't feel good at all. This is exactly how I would die, too. Some sort of toxic poisoning from soap fumes. Just some convoluted story that doesn't even make sense. That's how I'll go out. Exactly like this. What am I supposed to be talking about? Do you have any stories? Any stories? I was gonna talk about McDonald's and the Trayvon Martin verdict, but, I mean, it's like, you know, it's the middle of August now. I think I kind of missed the boat on those two things. I guess the McDonald one kind of current. I don't know. A bunch of morons at McDonald's decided they wanted $15 an hour and walked off the job. Who cares? I don't know. I cared more last week. Now I don't care. Nothing happened. So let this be a lesson to you morons who walked off from McDonald's. All you got out of that was you missed a day's wages. You're not going to get a 40% raise in the service industry. You're not going to do job A and then for X amount of money and then come in the next day and do the same job for 40% more money. Like, I don't know who told you that was going to happen, but that doesn't happen. It's just not. It was a waste of your time to even conceive of walking out on the, you know, even putting that idea in your head was stupid. This is not going to happen. I'm not even going to argue about whether it's fair or unfair, or you deserve the money or you don't deserve it, or McDonald's is evil or not evil. It's just, let's just focus on pragmatic and what's a good use of your time, you morons. You're not going to get a 40% raise in the service industry, so you wasted a day. That's all you did. And I will say one thing about whether or not you deserve it. When's the last time you paid 40% more for something than you needed to? You know, when's the last time you tipped 40% more than you had to? When's the last time the pizza guy came and you gave him a 40% tip? Huh? Never. So you're expecting McDonald's to do that? Why? you're hypocrites and you're idiots. You're not thinking. You use your head, man. You want to make $15 an hour? Apply for a $15 an hour job. You know, if that's your goal is $15 an hour, why did you apply at a place that pays $8 an hour? You know, you see how far out of striking distance you are from what you want? You know, be pragmatic, man. You know, I guess everybody who's working at McDonald's is either their first job or they don't really understand business economics, but it's not going to happen. McDonald's Corporation isn't going to raise its labor cost by 40% across the board because you think they should, or you'll leave. I don't know what happened to everybody who walked off the job. Hopefully they all got fired and replaced by someone else. And here's the other thing, being pragmatic. I mean, look at the big picture of things. You know, pan out a little bit, everybody. Everybody who's right now, they got their camera zoomed way in on the guy's face right up against the zit, and all they're looking at is the zit. Just pan out a little bit, everybody, and take in the whole big picture. You know, nothing happens in a vacuum. You people wanted $15 an hour at McDonald's. Pan out now. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that somehow in some alternate universe, the CEO of McDonald's has a brain aneurysm and falls down the stairs and smacks his head and gives himself brain damage and decides to give you all a raise up to $15 an hour. Let's say that that happens, okay? Now, the entry-level job at McDonald's is $15 an hour, just like you wanted it, okay? Let's say that happens. That happens on Thursday. Happens today. On Friday, you will have lost that job. Why? Because you only have that job because you were only competing with people willing to do it for $8 an hour. On Thursday, you would be being paid $15 an hour, and therefore you would now be competing with everybody willing to do that job for $15 an hour. So now you'd be competing with $15 an hour level people, you know, roofers and drywallers and plumber's assistants and, you know, people with actual work ethics and skill. Now, not that you don't. I mean, that's a hard job. I've had it. But, you know, people far more qualified than you. You know, people with better resumes than you. People with college degree. You know, people would come and take that job away from you. I would probably come and take that job away from you for $15 an hour. I don't got nothing going on between, like, February and April. I'll go flip hamburgers again and sweat for 15 bucks an hour. You know, better sit around here worrying about where my next freelance job's going to come from in the middle of winter. So use your heads. Even if you get what you want, you're just going to lose it. The way to get $15 an hour is to give yourself a skill that's worth $15 an hour. Not just to magically whine until somebody gives it to you, because then someone else will just take it. Am I making sense here? I mean, I might be a little disjointed because I really feel like I'm going to throw up. But am I getting through? I mean, pan out a little bit. Don't just focus right in on stuff. There's a whole world out there and everything affects everything else. You can't just whine and get $15 an hour, because anything that's just given to you is in a precarious position. You know, it can just be taken away again. But if you're in a job where you're earning that money, it can't just be taken away. You know, somebody can't just walk in off the street and take your job like they can if your job is, you know, entry level at McDonald's. Man, I'm really dizzy. What time is it? I don't think I can do a whole half an hour. I gotta lie down. I don't even want to get into the Trayvon Martin thing again. Let me just say this. Black community, start focusing all that energy on positive things and moving forward and promoting black-owned businesses. And that's all I have to say. I saw a lot of energy being mustered towards something that doesn't really affect your life one way or the other. I mean, there isn't some rash of fat Latinos wannabe security guards shooting black people. It's not that big an issue. And I know for you the issue is that you feel black life isn't valued as much as white life in the justice system. I know to you that's the issue. But this really wasn't the fight to pick to advance that idea, because Trayvon Martin, by all rights, seemed like he might have been up to something. Nothing enough to get. Well, here's the thing. The media didn't report this. Well, he wasn't drinking iced tea. He was drinking watermelon iced tea. He had a watermelon drink and Skittles, and earlier that day he was trying to get codeine on Facebook. So, Whitey McWhite, news reporter, didn't make the connection there, and it was never reported he had a watermelon drink because nobody wanted to look like a racist, but that's what was going on. He was making the drink. Okay, so he was up to no good. He was up to some shenanigans. He's a 17-year-old kid, and he was, you know, up to some shenanigans. And he saw this guy watching him, or whatever. He probably did look suspicious, because he was probably acting suspicious, because he knew he was up to something, and he didn't want to get caught. Now, he wasn't going to mug anybody, and he wasn't going to break any windows, and he wasn't going to do this or that. But he did. He was up to something, and he didn't want to get caught. So he probably was acting suspicious. Just be honest with yourself. You know, he got a 17-year-old knucklehead trying to get himself a buzz with some codeine and watermelon drink and whatever, because he saw Puff Daddy do it. And then he's got some guy following him around. Plus, he was talking on the phone to some broad. And by the way, not the beastly broad who showed up in court. He was talking to, just before that, talking to some girl named Dee Dee for like 45 minutes who didn't come forward. Yeah, so he's talking up some broad. He's 17 years old, so he's probably trying to get laid and be all Mr. Smooth. And he's got, you know, a fistful of the drink. He's been wandering around the neighborhood for half an hour, up to, you know, up to shady stuff. Harmless shady stuff, but, you know, shady stuff that, you know, he's got a guilty conscience and probably acting suspicious. And then Zimmerman comes along, and he just got done playing the role of tough guy to this girl on the phone, so now, you know, he's still in that gear. You know, he's still in that mindset to be a tough guy. And that's what happened. And it wasn't anything more nefarious than that. He got shot. It was... Zimmerman's an asshole, and Trayvon Martin wasn't using his brain, and that's why he got shot. Didn't really have anything to do with anything else. This is one of those incidents where, I mean, it's bad news, but it's not the fight you want to pick. There's plenty of other injustice out there. You know, pick some other more clear-cut case than this. That's all I'm saying. Well, we shouldn't have to. Yeah, you know, I know you shouldn't have to. I agree with you. You shouldn't have to, but you do, because life's not fair, and you're in the minority, right? And so to get your things to change, by definition, you're going to have to get people in the majority to start seeing what you see. And so you're going to have a sales pitch. You know, I hate to put it that way, because I hate to put it that in order to get people to see injustice, you have to put it into a sales pitch, but you do. I'm sorry, life's not fair. You know, being pragmatic again. You do. This wasn't the fight to fight. And anyhow, let's say we retry George Zimmerman. Or better yet, let's say we just take him out in the street and start him on fire. How about that? And then we pass a law saying that nobody can arrest a black person unless they're black. You know, just whatever law, a pie in the sky, just push the limit as far as you want. Let's say that. We start Zimmerman on fire and nobody can arrest a black person unless they're black. You know, whatever. Whatever you want. Let's say that we change that. How does that affect your life? You know, how does it stop your daughter from running around after school with some guy who looks like Lil Wayne's retarded brother? You know, how does it stop your kid from running around with a bunch of fools with their pants hanging off their ass instead of paying attention to his schoolwork? How does that get you making more money? How does that get you ahead in your job? You know, it doesn't. Your kid's not going to get shot by a fat Latino who thinks he's a vigilante. He's going to get shot by some other black kid. Be honest with yourselves. So, you know, it's all well and good to be pissed off about this sort of thing, but focus at least an equal amount of energy into moving your own life forward. And it's like the black community and the white community are polar opposites in this regard. Here's the white community. They, if you're starting a business or you're trying to get something done or you got an invention or, you know, you're trying to move forward in some way, they will rally around you until hell won't have it. You know, they'll promote your business, and they'll pat you on the back, and they'll, you know, they'll give it hell for you. But as soon as something goes wrong, oh, fuck this guy. I don't want any part of that. What, you got problems? No, F you. That's the white community. The black community is the polar opposite. When you're trying to get something done, you're trying to start a business, you're trying to move forward, it's met with, you know, jealousy and indifference and, you know, and grumbling and, you know, okay, whatever, good luck, man, you know. A lot of that. But then when something goes wrong, that's when everybody in the black community rallies around each other. It's polar opposites. I mean, both these communities could learn a little bit from each other, quite frankly. You know, white community, start looking out for each other just as much when things are, you know, on the backslide as they are when they're going up, huh? And black community, you do the opposite. You know, you spread that energy out the opposite way now. You'll wear extra-large T-shirts with a dead kid's picture on it all day long and go to candlelight vigils, but somebody in your neighborhood opens a hardware store, you don't give a rat's ass. You know, use your energy to help each other out when things are going up. All right? Am I making sense? It's my dying words to you people. This is it. The toxic fumes overtake my nervous system. That's all I got to say about that. You know, whatever. Do whatever you want, people. I gotta go lie down. Thanks for listening. Until next time. Think. It was such a-